Good morning, UCA. Guess what? It's Friday. Is anybody excited about that? All right, let's quiet down. So because it's Friday, that means three things. One, you made it through another week. Two, it's the weekend. And three, it's the end of week of prayer. Kind of sad. Have you guys learned a lot this week? Have you guys learned a lot from what Lawrence has had to share with you guys from his life? I've learned a lot this week as well. Lawrence has mentioned it a lot. Maybe I haven't mentioned as much, but I can't tell you guys. When we were asked to do this, Lawrence was asked long before I was, but when we were asked, we looked at each other and we're like, we're no polished speakers. We've never done this before. But as Lawrence has been sharing with you guys, through the life of Jonah, we were taught what? That we're not to ignore the call of the Lord. We're not to ignore the word of the Lord. And I believe that the Lord allowed Lawrence and I to come here for many reasons. It was a learning experience for us as well. And I know that for both of us, we've been sharing through the week. It's been a blessing to be here with you guys. I've learned a lot from you guys. I've learned a lot from his talks. I've learned a lot from the story of Jonah. And I believe that it was a blessing to heed the call, because who knows what would have happened if I said, no, I'm just a youth. Like, what do I have to say? For those of you who don't know, I'm 19 years old. I haven't done this at all. This is the first time for me. This is the first time for Lawrence, but what a blessing it has been. So I thank you guys for sharing this week with us and for teaching us some things just from you guys' walk here. What you guys do here, your walk with the Lord, it's taught us a lot. This week we've learned a lot about prayer in the mornings. And so let's just review for just a minute. What did we learn on Monday? Does anybody remember what we learned on Monday? Prayer. Okay. We learned about united prayer. We learned how important corporate prayer is, right? We learned basic principles about prayer that can help enrich our prayer experience. It can help add to our prayer life, right? And actually, before I forget to mention to you guys, I forgot this yesterday. On Saturday mornings from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, you guys are welcome and invited to go to a United Prayer session in the Powerhouse building. Every Saturday morning, 9 to 10. It's something that they've had for a little while, but no one has really known about United Prayer. But now you guys have no excuse. You guys know exactly what United Prayer is about. And so I would encourage you guys, please, 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 guys, don't let United Prayer stop today. Please don't let it stop today. We didn't come here just to kind of like take up some space in your schedule and like, you know, make your study habits a little harder by making you guys come to some meetings or whatever. We came to bring before you what we've learned. You know, this is something I learned not too long ago. I'm not some prayer expert. I know Pastor Ken said that on the first day I was here, and I was thinking, I'm no prayer expert. But I would ask that you guys, please don't let it drop today. I've been hearing around campus, there are some people wanting to start up some little groups, and I would encourage you to start up United Prayer groups. Different people, different days, different times. Keep it going. And for some of you, you might say, well, I don't have time. We don't have time for stuff like that. We have too much studies going on. Well, for that, I would say, remember what Martin Luther said. He said, if I fail to spend 2 hours in prayer each morning, the devil gets the victory through the day. I have so much business. In other words, I have so many things to do that I cannot get on without spending 3 hours daily in prayer. I mean, what can you say to that? If you say that you don't have time, think about that. So I would just encourage you guys to think about those prayer groups. On Tuesday morning, we learned about how the devil surrounds and encloses those who neglect to pray. Right? We learned that constant communion with God is one sure way to keep the devil at bay. And that, remember the safe with $80 million? We were taught that prayer is the key in the hand of faith to unlock heaven's storehouse. And so just remember that, guys. Wednesday morning, we learned that nothing is too hard for the Lord and that God cares about your life. Big things, little things, he cares about every part of your life. And if the angels of heaven love to be near to him and love to speak to him, how much more should we, why should we neglect, why should we shy away as human beings who need so much help, why should we shy away from spending that time with God, from pouring our hearts out to God, since he's the only one who can help us? And then, can anyone tell me what we talked about yesterday morning? Anyone? What did we talk about yesterday morning? Prayer. What kind of prayer? Private prayer. Monday morning, we had talked about public prayer. Yesterday, we discovered that just like a relationship with another human being, or even just a friendship, but we talked a lot about relationships, you have to spend that explicit time with each other outside of the norm. You have to spend that special quality time. And in the same way, we have to give that to God. If we expect to have a relationship with God, we have to spend that time every morning, giving our lives over to God every morning, pouring our hearts out to Him. That desire for a prayer life and public prayer life isn't enough, guys. It's the private prayer that is a powerful tool among it all. So what do you feel like, okay, what do you do when you feel like your prayers haven't been answered? Maybe you get like really frustrated, or you start doubting that your prayers are even going above the ceiling, or you think, you know, God just doesn't really care. But what are you supposed to do when your prayers, what should you do when your prayers, when you don't feel like your prayers are being answered? What do you think you should do? Pray for faith. Who said that? That is a really good answer. Pray for faith. Guys, I'm going to read you another quote. Not surprising. Man, I haven't been able to read to you all from that chapter, The Privilege of Prayer, but it's my understanding that the freshman class, Bible class, is actually going through Steps to Christ. And for those who aren't going through Steps to Christ or haven't ever read it before, and I challenge you guys to read it. When I was younger, I tried to read it, and I was like, I don't get anything from this. It just doesn't make sense. But fortunately, praise the Lord, I didn't give up there. This year, I read it at the beginning of this year in school, and it's officially become my favorite book. It's the most incredible book. And here's what it has to say on what we're supposed to do when we feel our prayers aren't being answered. It says, the assurance is broad and unlimited, and He is faithful who is promised. When we do not receive the very things that we asked for at the time we ask, we are still to believe that the Lord hears and that He will answer our prayers. We are so erring and short-sighted that sometimes we ask for things that would not be a blessing to us. And our Heavenly Father in love answers our prayers by giving us that which will be for our highest good, that which we ourselves would desire if with vision divinely enlightened we could see all things as they really are. When our prayers seem not to be answered, we are to cling to the promise, for the time of answering will surely come, and we shall receive the blessing we need most. But to claim that prayer will always be answered in the very way and for the particular thing that we desire is presumption. God is too wise to err and too good to withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly. Then do not fear to trust Him. Even though you do not see the immediate answers to your prayer, rely upon His sure promise. Ask and it shall be given you. Now for some of you, some of that may not have made sense. I had to go through it a couple of times myself. Let's break it down a little bit. Basically, in an extreme paraphrase, what it's saying here is that when we don't receive what we've asked for, or in the time span that we wanted, or exactly how we wanted it answered, or maybe it hasn't come yet in any form. I mean, maybe you haven't even heard anything from the Lord since the last time you prayed. Maybe you're thinking, okay, I haven't heard anything yet. We are still to believe that the Lord hears and that He will answer our prayers. We're still to have that faith, like you said. And it says that we are so erring and short-sighted. In other words, we have such small, I mean, we have, praise the Lord, we have brains like we do, but they're so small and so small in comparison to the mind of the infinite, that if we were to see how things were really, really were, if we were to have the mind of God, if we were to have heavenly insight, we would see how things really were, and we would be asking for something completely different. And that completely different thing is what the Lord wants to bestow to you. And you, when you see that come, you think, well, Lord, I didn't pray for that. But think about if He hadn't answered your prayer, if He had answered your prayer just the way that you wanted and it wasn't for your best good, think about it. Later you'd come back and be like, Lord, what was that about? Like, what'd you give that to me for? And He'd be like, you asked for it. But instead, He wants to give us things that we don't ask for, things that would be for our highest good. So we need to have that faith that and cling to that promise that it will come, and that that He's speaking the truth when He says, ask and it shall be given to you. So I ask again, what should we do when our prayers don't seem to be answered? Now that you think about it in that light, should we be getting frustrated with the Lord? Should we begin to doubt? Should we think that, you know, should we be accusing the Lord that He didn't get our memo? Should we, you know, what should we be doing? We are to trust that God knows what is for our best good and to cling to that promise, ask and it shall be given to you. On September 18, 1838, something happened that changed George Mueller's life. How many of you guys know who George Mueller is and know anything about him? Okay, a few of you. I didn't know anything about George Mueller until like 2 weeks ago, or maybe it was last week. I had heard about him a long time ago, but I never really found out who he was or what he did. And last week, I kind of studied into his life. And so for those of you who don't know who George Mueller is, basically the extreme rundown is that he was a gentleman back in the 1800s who was known, first of all, he grew up unconverted, completely unconverted. And later on in his life, when he did become converted, he wanted to build an orphanage. He wanted to do something for the Lord. And so he built an orphanage, and the Lord provided the funds all the way to the last T. But then when it came down to the opening day, he forgot to pray for the orphans. So like no one showed up. So then he prayed for orphans, and the next day there was like 17 of them, and they just kept multiplying, and he had thousands by the end of his life, just thousands and thousands and thousands of orphans that he had taken care of. And so he was known all of his life for his extreme devout prayer life and how many prayers were really answered. I mean, he had some tremendous stories. If you go to the library or whatever, pull up a book on George Mueller and just read. It's just inspiring, just reading it before bed or whatever. And I mean, you guys probably don't have spare time. You probably don't even know what that is. But if you ever have spare time, I would suggest you read a little bit. It's just inspiring. It's like one of those books that you don't really want to put down. But here's what happened on September 18, 1838. They had spent every cent that they had on food. Now imagine, you have this orphanage and you have thousands of kids who were relying on you to pay for their food. Now, of course, he had people who made the food and, you know, helped the kids and everything, but he was the one who was at the bottom line. He was the one who everyone relied on. Every cent had been used. They had nothing more. They'd been praying, but nothing was given toward this need. And if nothing came that day, they were going to have to start selling their possessions to be able to buy food. And so he had been praying for a while. I mean, he had seen this need coming. And yet there had been nothing that day. And just then, there came a knock at the door. "How good to meet you, Mr. Mueller," the lady began. "I have a parcel from my daughter here. I ask your forgiveness. I've been living next to the boys' home," which was one of the orphanages. He had like three, I think, that he built one and then he built another. And then one of them was just strictly for the boys. And he said, "I've been living next to the boys' home for several days and have forgotten to bring it to you." In the package, when he opened it up, was found enough money for their needs. George was so encouraged that he later wrote that the money had been so near the orphan houses for several days. It had been right there. The lady had it. Just, I mean, a hop, skip, and a jump from where he went, from where his office was. He says that the money had been so near the orphan houses for several days without being given is a plain proof that it was from the beginning in the heart of God to help us. But because he delights in the prayers of his children and to strengthen our faith, he had allowed us to pray for so long. George never worried again about the provisions for his children. Though they were this low many times over the next few years, he never worried about them. So then, early one morning, Abigail was playing in Mr. Mueller's garden. Now, do you remember who Abigail is, right? She moved, our family moved to work with Mr. Mueller, and she's 3 years old, right? She's playing out in the garden on Ashley Down. Ashley Down was the name of the orphanage. And Mr. Mueller came out and took her by the hand and said, "Come see what the Lord's going to do for us today. Come see what the Father's going to do." And he takes her inside and leads her into this long dining room. Now, he walks into the dining room, and what they see is all these tables where the kids normally eat, and all that's there is the dishes are set, everything's set in place, but one big thing is missing. What do you think that was? Yeah, the food was missing. And so he walks in there, everything's ready. The children are all lined up for school to eat their breakfast. They have school, just like you guys do. They have a schedule, they gotta meet it. And they're here for breakfast and there's nothing on the table. And he says, "Children, you know that we must be in time for school," said Mr. Mueller. Then lifting his hand, he prayed, "Dear Father, we thank thee for what thou art going to give us to eat." Just then a knock was heard at the door. The baker stood there. He said, "Mr. Mueller, I couldn't sleep last night. Somehow I felt that you didn't have bread for breakfast, and the Lord wanted me to send you some. So I got up at 2 o'clock this morning and baked you guys some bread." 2 o'clock in the morning, the Lord woke him up and said, "They don't have bread for breakfast. Get up and make some bread for them." So here he baked them some fresh bread and brought it to them for breakfast. So they shut the door, and George thanked the baker. He shut the door, and they began to praise the Lord. They had bread. Not only did they just have regular bread, he's like, guys, we don't just get bread. We get fresh bread this morning. So just at that moment where they were going to go eat it, there came a second knock at the door. And this time it was the milkman. The milkman's truck had broken down right outside the door, and he needed to repair the truck. But in order to repair the truck, he had to take all the milk out, and he said, I'm giving you guys all the milk that I have because I have to repair this truck and I don't want it to spoil, so enjoy all the milk. So here they had milk and bread, fresh bread for breakfast. Now, when you think about that story and you think about the story before, you know, Mr. Mueller had prayed. He had prayed a considerable amount of time before that. In some cases, he had prayed for quite a while. He could see the need was coming, and so he prayed. Well, just because the Lord didn't answer his prayer right then, just because, you know, let's say a week before the change pile was going to be empty, just because he didn't answer that soon in advance, he answered it on the day and the moment that the need was there. Why? Because he wanted to show Mr. Mueller and all of those orphans how much he really cared. Like, he really cared. He cared that they needed breakfast. He didn't want them to go to breakfast, to school hungry. He cared about those little needs. Open with me your Bibles to Psalms chapter 81, verse 10. Guys, this just makes me happy. When I read stories like this and I hear about prayer, I cannot tell you how happy it makes me, because I too, even recently, I have gone through experiences where I've sat there and I've been like, Lord, okay, guys, let's quiet down just a little bit. I've gone through experiences where I've said, Lord, are my prayers just not like getting to you? Are we not like in a clear communication? Am I on a different channel? I've gone through that time and time and time again. But the Lord is so gracious. He reminds us constantly. If we keep our eyes open, he reminds us constantly of his care, that he cares about those things. And even when it doesn't seem like he's answering our prayers, we're to have faith, to trust in his love and care. Remember that quote that I told you earlier on in the week? We have nothing to fear for the future lest we forget how God has led us in the past. If we forget how God has led us in the past, then of course we have everything to fear for the future. But if we remember, we have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear at all. Psalms 81, verse 10, it says, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. That's a promise, guys. When you feel like God isn't really listening, when you feel like he's not really there, he's not paying attention to your needs, tell him, Lord, here's what you said. You said, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. So please fill it. And he will fill it. Maybe not exactly how you thought, but he will fill it. So I ask again, what should we do when our prayers don't seem to be answered? I would challenge you guys today to trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for the blessing of this week of prayer. We have learned a lot. I've learned a lot. And I pray that the students here present have learned a lot from seeing through Lawrence's life, how you have led, and how you led through Jonah's life, and how you've led through my life, and how you're leading through their life. Lord, I pray that today, that this week of prayer won't stop today just because the official week of prayer, the official meetings end today. Lord, I pray that these students would be inspired by the power in prayer to keep these prayer groups going and to not forget to spend that special time with you every morning, to develop that relationship with you that no one can take away. When everything else fails, Lord, you are always there. And so we thank you so much for hearing and answering our prayers, and just help us to trust and obey. Because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, we're gonna do United Prayer one more time today. But I say one more time. I'm still gonna be here. Actually, there's a possibility. I will tell you guys that there might be a possibility that we may have a prayer room open tomorrow afternoon. The prayer room is going to be like Army Bible Camp, where there's actually a room that you can come in and out of. You're free to come. You're not required to come. Come anytime you want. Pray for the session that we have and then leave and more people can come. Super cool experience. So if that's going to happen, I will let you guys know, or someone or your deans will let you know. But today we're going to pray one more time during this week of prayer. And so once again, for those who would like to stay and experience prayer with the Lord one more time and with all of you guys present, go ahead and leaders, take your positions, take your places, and groups, go ahead and form and enjoy this prayer time together, guys.